In this application, I'll take an existing ASP.NET Web Service application and then AJAX enable that web service using the ASP.NET 2.0 extensions for AJAX. So here we have a simple application that includes a web service and a client that consumes that web service. And what happens is when the user runs this application, they enter some text in this text box, click on this button, the text box contents get sent to the web service as an input parameter. The web service takes that text, adds some other text, returns the compound value, and that compound value is displayed here in this label field. The service itself just takes an input parameter, uses it to build a compound string, and then returns that compound string to the calling client. And the web service is called because here in our button click event, which is in the code behind for our default.aspx page, we're dimming up a new instance of that web service, which we can do because we've added a web reference, and then calling the say hello method, passing in the value in the text box, gets the return value from the web service and puts it in the label. Right. So what actually happens here, let's run this. What's actually happening here is when I enter a value here and I click on the button, a full page postback happens. The page lifecycle starts and the button's event handler gets called. So that's running on the server, and then that code on the server calls the web service method, which is running on the server. The web service returns back to our code behind VB file, it takes the return value, builds the new HTML page, and then sends all that HTML back down to the server. So what we want to do is we want to AJAX enable our web service so that we can cut out that piece in the middle and simply call this web service directly from our JavaScript, which is already sitting in the browser on the client's desktop. So in order to do that, we need this web service to know how to answer calls from JavaScript, and we're not going to go through the full SOAP-based web service mechanism. We're going to use a JavaScript-based mechanism. Now, one of the things that you might imagine is that doing this from scratch would create the developer the need to write a lot of JavaScript plumbing code to activate this calling mechanism. And thankfully, the AJAX development team has implemented a really clever mechanism to prevent us from having to write lots of JavaScript code. So let's run this service independently and then show what it doesn't do. Because if you've done any Microsoft AJAX programming at all, you know that every ASPX page that's going to use Microsoft AJAX has to have an instance of the script manager on that page. And the script manager is this sort of rich thing that includes functionality as a traffic cop to talk to the server and pull down all of the resources that the client's going to need without the developer having to specifically include them. So things like the appropriate version of the AJAX client-side runtime, any of the browser-specific dependencies, so all of the cross-browser compatibility is handled by the script manager as well. And another thing is, in the script manager, if we tell the script manager that we want to work with some web services, we include a services section and then a specific service reference to the web service that we want to call, and we'll actually write code that does all of this when we write the test harness for our AJAX-enabled web service here. But the script manager will ask the service for JavaScript that your code running back in the browser can use to call the service. So the service itself generates the JavaScript that you'll use to call it. So in order to do that, our service has to know how to answer a call that ends in /js. And an AJAX-enabled web service will look at a call that says that ends in /js and says, oh, the calling client wants me to generate some JavaScript that it can use to call me. Now, if we try and do this in a standard ASP.NET web service, we get this error message. It says the request format is unrecognized, the URL unexpectedly ending in a /js. So a standard SOAP-based ASP.NET web service has no idea what to do with a URL that ends in /js. So let's start the process of AJAX enabling that web service. And to do that, we need to modify the web.config file. And In a previous How Do I video, the title was How Do I AJAX Enable My Existing ASP.NET Application, I've walked through this in detail. But there are quite a number of sections here that need to be added or modified. And I've created snippets to help us do that. So there's a fair bit of code. I recommend that you do this as well. So these snippets that we're going to use are not installed by the Microsoft AJAX installer. These are ones that I've created. And how I created them is I use Visual Web Developer and said, create a new website. And then I selected the AJAX-enabled website template. And this template does get installed by the AJAX installer. So I create an empty project using that template. And then I can look at the web.config file. And this web.config file has all of the sections that we need to AJAX-enable our ASP.NET application. So the first section, we'll enumerate these here, and then we'll go use the snippets that I've already created to AJAX-enable our web service. So first, we have this configuration section. And notice that this works with things like the script, the resource handler. It wires up the JSON serializer, profile service, authentication service. In the control section here, we're wiring up the ASP tag prefix to the Microsoft AJAX namespace. Also, we have to add a reference to the assembly. Here in the HTTP handler section, there's some interesting things. The second two entries here where we create handlers for .axd files. These are part of the AJAX runtime. For example, script resource is the file that's returned on the request of the script manager that includes things like the AJAX client-side runtime. The particular entries that are of interest to us here, since we're working with web services, though, are, notice we're actually removing the verb handler for .asmx files. And then we're adding it back in. But we're adding it in and specifying that the type is system.web.script.services.scripthandlerfactory. And this is what's going to allow our web service to work with JavaScript calls. So that's important. We also have to add this HTTP module for the system.web.handlers.script module. We also get this generated by default, this system.web.extensions section. You'll note that this is just a template, so we're not actually going to need to use this in the demo app that we're building. But I want you to know that this is here. This lets us do lots of things like enable the profile service, do things like specify some of the details of JSON serialization, authentication. So I just wanted you to know that's there. We're not going to use it in the demo that we're working on, but it gets generated for us by default when we select the AJAX-enabled project template. Another piece that we are going to need, though, is this system.web server section. So it adds the script module and wires up some handlers for us for things like the script handler factory. Okay, so as I mentioned, I've created existing snippets. And so how I did this, again, I want to be really clear, these are not created by the AJAX installer. I just said right-click, add a new tab, give it whatever name you want, and then you can just take code out of the editor, drop it into that toolbox, and there it's there for reuse. So what I've done is I've created a toolbox tab called code, and I've gone through this web.config file that was generated for me using the AJAX-enabled template, and I've taken each of these sections and I've dragged them into this code toolbox tab. Right, I recommend that you do this because it's great just to have each one of these sections as a snippet. When you're not doing an AJAX conversion of an existing application, you can just close that code tab up. That makes it really easy to, so you don't have to constantly go cut and paste or retype those sections. So now let's go ahead and in our existing application, let's add the config sections that we need to AJAX enable our web service. So to begin with, at the top of the configuration section, I'm going to add the config sections. Right, then down here in the pages section is where we're going to add our controls section that wires up the system.web.ui, that's the AJAX namespace, to the ASP prefix. Remember we said we need to get rid of the compilation section. We don't actually need to get rid of it. We just need to make sure that it includes a reference to the AJAX assembly. So I've done that. Also added the HTTP handlers and the HTTP module section that that we were looking at. And then last, paste in the last section. which includes this system.webserver section that we looked at, and that's it. So that's all we need in our web config file. So let's save our web config file, and now let's go in and run Simple Service again. Now remember, we've remapped the handler for .asmx file. So note that this still works as a SOAP-enabled web service. Right, so it's still working as a SOAP service. But now if we append /js, we get a different error message. It says only web services with a script service attribute on the class definition can be called from script. So different message. What that means, that actually means that our web.config file is all set and ready to go. But we need to tell our service class that we want to allow calling from JavaScript. So here we have, this is a web service class because we've inherited from system.web.services.webservice. And say hello is a web method because we've decorated it with the web method attribute. But by default, web methods can't be called from JavaScript. And that makes sense, right? You don't want to necessarily expose all of your web service methods to JavaScript. So when we specifically want to work with a class that will expose its methods to be called from JavaScript, we need to add this attribute, right? And again, that's just a code snippet, so you don't have to watch me type this whole thing out. And the attribute that we want to add is system.web.script.services.scriptService. That's it. Now if we go ahead and run our simple service again, right? So let's run that web service directly in the browser again. Now if we append /js, it's telling us it wants to download a file. And the file that it's trying to download is just named JS. It's not a known MIME type, but I'm going to save it, and I'm going to give it a file name that ends in .js. I'm just going to save it on the desktop and then go open it in an editor. And what we've got here is the code that our client can use to call our web service. Right? So here's the JavaScript prototype. Here we're invoking the simple service. Here's the method name, say hello. So this is dynamically generated JavaScript that gets downloaded to the client so that we don't have to write all this plumbing to use JavaScript to call our web service. Right? So pretty cool. Now our web service is enabled for being called by Ajax-style JavaScript code. The only thing that we need to do is we need to write a client to test this. So the first thing we'll do, let's go in back into our web.config file, and note that we still have this this reference here. Let's get rid of the web reference. So we're not going to use SOAP-based calling mechanisms for this web service anymore. We're just going to use JavaScript. Right? So there you go. Notice that now we have no reference to the WSDL, no reference to this being a SOAP-based web service that we're going to call. Okay. So now let's go into our default.asbx page and let's go into the code behind and get rid of that. All right, so basically we have a code behind file, but we're removing all of the logic, so nothing's going to get called here in the code behind file other than on initial load. And then we're going to go into our web UI here and we're going to delete everything, so all we've got left is the header, and now we can start to Ajax-enable this default.asbx page to call the Ajax-enabled web service that we just refactored. So to begin with, I'm going to go down into the Ajax Extensions Toolbox tab, and this is one that's created by the installer, and I'm going to grab a script manager and put it on the page, since every Ajax-enabled ASPX page must have one and only one instance of the script manager on the page. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add the controls back in, but I'm not going to use ASP.NET controls. I'm not going to use server-side controls. Instead, I'm just going to use regular HTML controls. So let's add an input box for the text that's going to be passed to my service. I'm going to use a HTML button, which will be used to invoke that service. And then let's put a let's just use another text box here as a place to put the results. We could use a div or some other HTML artifact if we wanted to. Now I'm going to double click on this button control. Notice that we get generated client side JavaScript. So if we go look at the button, right, the button has an onClick event handler wired up to say button 1 underscore onClick, and that JavaScript function is shelled out for us here. Now in this onClick JavaScript function, we actually are going to want to call our simple service. So in order to do that, we need to tell the script manager that we're going to be working with that service. So inside the script manager tags, we're going to specify a services collection, and then inside the services collection, we're going to specify a service reference, and we're going to give it a path. And since our service, our web service, our ASMX file is in this project, all we need to specify is the file name. If it were in a different project in this solution or someplace else on the server, we'd need to provide a resolvable path. But in our case, the resolvable path is just the file name. Right? And now, as soon as we close our well-formed XML, now the script manager can look at this at load time and say, oh, the code is going to try and call the methods in the simple service web service, so go ahead and ask simple service using that slash JS convention to send me the code that that I should use to call it. Right, so really clever construct by the MS Ajax developers. So now I just need to call the method, and what's actually happening is we're not calling the web service method directly, so we're actually not calling the say hello method directly. What instead we're calling is a generated proxy to that service, and the reason that we want to do that is we want our Ajax calls to be asynchronous, right? So we don't want our user interface to wait for a return call, for a return from that web service. So what we're actually doing is calling a proxy so that the behavior can be asynchronous. So we can say, and we're going to pass in the value that we get out of that first text box. And remember, it's not an ASP.NET control, so we're going to do all of this code in JavaScript here on the client. So to get the value out of that text box, we have to say document get element by ID, and the ID is text 1. So you probably want to use more meaningful names than I'm using in this demo. And we get the value. Now we need to specify some additional parameters, because even though our service method say hello only expects one input parameter, remember we're not really calling that directly. What we're calling is the proxy to that, and the proxy expects some additional parameters. So we can say on complete, which is going to be a JavaScript function that we'll call when our service method completes successfully, or on timeout, which is another JavaScript function that will be called if our web service doesn't answer. And remember, there's a possibility of that since all of this stuff runs on top of HTTP, which is an innately stateless protocol. It's a possibility that we'll make a call to that service and not get an answer. We also want to handle error conditions. So error and timeout are different. On timeout means I tried to call a service, a web service, and I didn't get an answer. On error means I tried to call the web service answered me, but it couldn't process my request, so it had an error and it wanted to tell me that there was an error. Now we need to define those three functions that we passed in as parameters to the web service proxy. So on complete, and the proxy when it returns will automatically pass the return from the web service back to our JavaScript functions. We need one for on timeout and one for on error. And note, we're programming in JavaScript here, so two things to note. One is that I have to take a little bit more code. I can't rely on Visual Studio to tell me as much in terms of the programming mistakes that I'm making. Note here that I've I've cut and pasted this so that I have three different versions of OnComplete. And I also want to note that in the next version of Visual Studio, Visual Studio Orcus, the development experience for Ajax and JavaScript developers really improves. So in addition to a brand new HTML-based designer, we'll get things like complete IntelliSense for JavaScript and for all of the Ajax, the Microsoft Ajax syntax, as well as a really rich debugging experience that will let us debug seamlessly back and forth between the JavaScript running in the browser and the server-side code that implements things like this web service. So, on timeout and on error. Now, in on timeout, I'm just going to pop up an alert that says, service call timed out. Now, you might want to do something else here. You might want to display some static content on the page or whatever you like. Maybe you'd implement a little state engine here so that you know if you've previously had a successful call to that service. And if that's the case, maybe you don't refresh the content. You just add a little timestamp to the content that says, hey, this was updated 60 seconds ago or what have you. Here we'll just say error calling service method. And again, you might not want to display an error just because the service method returned an error. Maybe you want to display some static content or make no changes at all. You just want to keep track of the fact that the service method call was unsuccessful. Right? So again, it depends on the criticality of updating your data on your page and what the specific semantics of your application demand. Now let's go ahead and process a successful return. So remember, what we want to do here is we want to take the return value from our service call and populate the second text box with whatever we got back from that service. So again, we're not working with server-side ASP.NET controls. We're working with HTML artifacts. So let's say document get element by ID, and this time we want to populate what the element text 2, which is the ID for the second text box, and then we want to say inner text. Now, if we were just putting HTML content in a div, we'd use inner HTML. And then we'd just say equal to whatever we got back from our web service. Okay, so document.getElementById, text 2, inner text equals whatever the return was. So we'll say we'll put Ajax developers in the text box, and now click the button to get return. Now, a couple of things to note. Look at how fast that was to begin with, much faster than calling a full-blown web service. Also, no full page refresh. We just got content from the web service and put it in the text box. And that's it. Now you know everything that you need to know to start Ajax enabling your XML web services using the ASP.NET 2.0 extensions for Ajax, and then writing clients that consume those directly without that full page refresh lifecycle that we've been historically used to when programming web applications with XML web services.